This is 10 Things I Like About, a 10-minute, 10-episode podcast about unknown or misunderstood wildlife. Welcome to 10 Things I Like About. I'm Kirsten, your host, and this is a podcast about misunderstood or unknown creatures in nature. Some we'll find right outside our doors, and some are continents away, but all are fascinating. This podcast will focus 10-minute episodes on different animals and their amazing characteristics. Please join me on this extraordinary journey. You won't regret it. We have reached episode 7. And the 7th thing I like about slime mold is everything scientists are learning from this amazing protist. If you did not know, listeners, I am a huge supporter of learning from nature. This planet and all of its inhabitants, from invertebrates to birds to mammals, has so much to teach us if we would just listen. Slime mold is no exception to this statement. It may be the best example of how true this statement is. This single-celled organism has thrown the human written rulebook out the window. According to humans, it should not be capable of doing any of the amazing things it can do, but it does them anyway. So scientists have finally realized the value of studying slime mold. This episode, we're going to talk about what kind of research is focusing on slime mold. The brainless, I say that with air quotes, organism has so many secrets that scientists will be searching out answers to the enigma of slime mold until the end of human time. Most likely. I'm going to talk about some of the more recent research involving slime mold. Some of you may be aware that in the last several years, bacteria has become increasingly resistant to antibiotics. This can be a serious problem when someone contracts a bacterial infection that is not impacted by antibiotics that are currently available to us today. A simple infection can result in death. Scientists are always racing to keep a step ahead of the ever-evolving bacteria. Slime mold is helping them find new and unexpected places to look for antibiotic alternatives. Amazingly, the first report of antibiotics from slime mold was published in 1948. Two acids derived from an aromatic compound from Fuligo septica, aka scrambled egg slime mold, were discovered to have antibiotic properties. That was 76 years ago. Sometimes it does take a bit of time for us to catch on. So compounds derived from several different species of slime molds have been shown to have antibacterial effects. An extract of the plasmodium form of Ficerum gyrosus had intermediate antibacterial effects against E. coli. E. coli is a bacteria that commonly causes bouts of food poisoning in the human population in many countries around the world. Aromatics derived from certain cellular slime molds have exhibited growth inhibition against different gram-positive bacteria. Extracts from Ficerum album has shown antibacterial and antifungal properties. This is some pretty promising research into alternative antibiotics. I know I'm excited about this because I'm allergic to penicillin. So the more antibiotic alternatives out there, the better it is for me. With the constantly increasing populations of major cities, streamlining and improving emergency response times is seriously important. What does this have to do with slime mold? Let's ask Nick Gilmet, a Bachelor of Science graduate of Stetson University's Computer Science program. His research paper, A Novel Routing Protocol for Wireless Ad Hoc Networks Based on the Behavior of Slime Mold Ficerum Polycephalum, answers the question of what slime mold has to do with emergency services. Using a previous graduate's research and with the guidance of an award-winning computer science professor, Gilmet turned raw data into a publishable paper about how slime mold knows how to distribute resources effectively without knowing where everything is. Slime mold is able to tell each of its cells the best way to use available resources without having a centralized brain. So, quoting from an article in Stetson Today, Nick says, slime mold makes a little web sort of thing, and it's able to solve a little maze. He goes on to say, that's how computer networks can work sometimes. One single computer doesn't know where every computer is and the right way to send data to something else. This research tries to take a model that describes that sort of decentralized intelligence maze-solving ability and apply that to a computer network. So if this research works, it could be used to improve emergency service protocols during times when network infrastructure has been disabled, such as during hurricanes or natural disasters, or even in remote areas where communication is difficult. So next time you get help after a hurricane, you may have slime mold to thank. In Canada, a group of researchers are using a virtual program based on the problem-solving abilities of slime mold to develop a subway system that is less prone to disruption. This sounds like a fantastic idea to me. Okay, so this is the second time in this episode that I've mentioned the problem-solving ability of slime mold. And I know I haven't really delved into this subject yet, but it's so fascinating that I'm dedicating an entire episode to this amazing ability. That's going to be next week's episode. Okay, back to the subway research. Once again, Farsarum polycephalum is acting as inspiration for human technological advances. So Farsarum polycephalum grows in a system of veins. These veins will form tubular networks that optimize the transfer of nutrients throughout the entire organism. Researchers have recognized the efficiency of this system and are studying it to try to improve human public transportation. Raphael Kay, a researcher involved in University of Toronto's project, says, in architecture school, we are taught by human architects the lessons of past human architecture. But the slime mold has been shaped by hundreds of millions of years of evolution. So in that sense, they are far more experienced at solving certain architectural problems than we humans ever could be. End quote. Kay and colleagues created a computer program that simulates how slime mold creates its living networks. The program was tasked with creating two same networks based on real-world scenarios. One was based on a local amusement park layout. The other was based on 14 points on a local subway route. In a paper published in January 2022, Kay reported, in the Canada's Wonderland example, our model generated a network that, for the same cost, would provide a travel time 10% faster than the real-life network, and 80% more resilient in the event one of the segments got blocked. He continues, for the subway, the most striking finding was that for a network with the same travel time as the real thing, our network was 40% less susceptible to disruption. That sounds good to me. We really need to start listening to slime mold. There are many more fascinating projects out there about what slime mold is teaching researchers, but I've only got 10 minutes. Thanks for listening to this episode, because what we're learning from slime mold is my seventh favorite thing about this protist. If you're enjoying this podcast, please recommend me to friends and family and take a moment to give me a rating on whatever platform you're listening. It will help me reach more listeners and give the animals I talk about an even better chance at change. Join me next week for another fascinating episode about slime mold. This has been an episode of 10 Things I Like About with Kirsten and Company. Original music written and performed by Catherine Camp, piano extraordinaire.